Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Metaphysical, paranormal, you know, all those things you've been wondering about. Are you ready to go deeper into the realms of the unknown? I hope you've got your walking shoes on, because life is an adventure, and this is the journey. Come on, let's go. Hello and welcome to the show, everyone. I'm Jen Cruz, your host tonight, and this is the Journey Radio Show, and I've got a big surprise for you. We are not talking about Bigfoot tonight. I know it's a surprise to everybody, but I've got Clayton Crawford on the line with me. He's come to talk Hello. With us about awakening. No zombies allowed. So, hello, Clayton.
No sleepers. Hello, everyone.
Welcome back to the show.
I'm excited about this topic. I love this discussion. It's so enlightening. You know, there's so much information when it comes to awakening. There's so much to learn. You know, people awaken in so many different ways, you know, from like a being born gifted, but truly awakening later on in life to, trauma, anything from, you know, a horrible car accident, losing a loved one, any kind of major trauma can spark an awakening. Awakenings can happen slowly over time and just with people researching and being out of curiosity. There's really no right or wrong way to awaken, I guess.
Well, some people might disagree with that. They might say, you need to go faster. But that's just not true. Everybody's at their own pace. Although I think a lot of people start their awakening process and they feel like they're running out of time.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to hurry because they're behind. And so they have no patience for anybody else because they just are rushing because they feel like they're running out of time. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
so
that's very.
I wish we could see the audience. I would say, anybody else feel like that ever? So we could see them raise their hands.
I'm sure a lot of people would. I would be one of them.
Oh, I was there. I was totally there. Totally there. And part of that, I think, I wonder, is our guides. I think they're trying to put a fire under our butts to get going because otherwise we would procrastinate it forever.
I don't know. I think my guides were like trying to strap me down and say, slow down, focus on one thing, you know, because I was all over the place. My energy was all over the place. I was trying to learn this and have my hands in this. And to an extent, I still do that every once in a while, but nowhere near like I did.
Right. I know. But I mean, I've seen you go through quite a few different stages and you know, levels of patience.
Right. Right, yes. And every once in a while, you know, somebody really will trigger me and my patience will totally go. But for the most part, yeah, I'm more patient than I ever have been in my life. And patience is not a virtue that I was born with. It's something that I've had to work very hard at.
yes.
Patience and understanding and being empathizing.
Yes, I totally get it. I totally get it.
In our culture, in our society, in our system, the people are just taught to be apathetic towards people and situations. If they haven't experienced it, they're apathetic towards it. You know, and that's basically shedding away of the old stuff that was engraved in your head and like getting down to like the inner true you and, you know, healing and growing, I guess. And that's what awakening isn't easy. You know, people think, oh, it's all glitters and rainbow. It's not, you know, same with ascension. Like each ascension process is hard. You know,
wait a minute, Clayton. You know, we've got a ton of listeners out there who are probably wondering what the heck is this awakening thing? So let's try to explain it a little bit to them before we move into more stuff that'll confuse them. Okay. So what is it? What is awakening to you in a short burst of explanation to somebody who's never heard of it before?
To me, awakening is truly realizing that there's something more, there's something deeper to this life. It's beginning to feel the energy and realizing that everything is energy. The soul, every living thing is energy. And it's realizing that every living thing is connected. Every living thing in the universe, every living consciousness is connected. And that is what makes up collective consciousness as a whole. It's what a lot of people refer to as God. You know, God is really collective consciousness. It's the consciousness of all living things in the universe connected. And the awakening is realizing this slowly, you know?
I think it starts out with wondering, who am I and why am I here?
Right.
And the realization of something is not right. Something's not right with life. There's something wrong here. Something else is going on. And it's awakening to that idea that there's something else going on here that you didn't realize before. And it's this process that starts with a lot of confusion, questioning your perception of reality. Questioning your reality doesn't necessarily mean that reality itself isn't real. It means that your perception of reality may have not been correct.
Right. And it means that everything, I hate to say everything, but most of the things you were taught and told and that was engraved in your head as a child is not real. It's not right. You know,
your understanding of it is off.
Right.
And that makes
the world
more sense.
Deeper. It's not so shallow.
Right. And well, let me put it to you this way, because a lot of people might go, wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. But imagine, realize that a lot of people are taught their faith starting as a baby. And so they start accepting these things as a toddler with a toddler's mind. Now, it's easy to grasp the idea that a toddler could have maybe misunderstood something that they were taught and formed a belief that was not necessarily exactly correct. And nobody maybe ever picked up on that. So it doesn't necessarily mean that the religion or the beliefs itself are all wrong. It's just that perhaps the perception and the understanding that was formed about it as a small child was wrong, or maybe even the parents' understanding of it as a small child was misunderstood and therefore taught to them in a different way. So, you know, these are the kinds of things that we start to question, like your beliefs. Does it make sense? And you start looking at them with an adult mind and you go, wait a minute, that doesn't really, that's not logical.
No.
And then you start looking for what is the truth then. If this wasn't right, what is it? And it may take you away from it, sidestepping a little bit. But what I found with my own journey is I had to go away from what I was believing because it wasn't right. I misunderstood it or it was taught to me in the way that it was understood by somebody else. And I had to walk away from that understanding of it because it was so ingrained in fear. And I was so afraid of God that I was too afraid to get too close, but yet consciously I was trying to, but yet wouldn't let it happen. So I had to like sidestep that and go away from it a little bit, step outside that box, so to speak, and then start looking for what is the actual thing that is true here. And I really went on a search for that. And I was really afraid. And, you know, as I began finding those answers for myself, those fears started going away. And I found myself feeling closer and closer and closer to what people call God, until I felt so interconnected that it didn't even feel like a separate, I was so part of it. So it was like God was this huge body, and we were all just cells within that body. Right. We're all a part of that, and all interconnected, interdependent, and interrelated to each other as a part of that. And therefore, we all have value, and, you know, we all matter. And, you know, sometimes we forget that we're part of that. And a lot of people have forgotten that we're part of that. And that's what the awakening process is about feeling this disconnection, that it's not right. The disconnected feeling isn't right. And there's something wrong with that. And so then you go looking for, well, what is this all about anyway? And right. It can be a really confusing time, and it can be kind of crazy, kooky, and people might think there's something wrong with you. And that's because they just haven't started doing this themselves yet. And so they start seeing there's something wrong. There's something wrong. You're being different. And, you know, you might think there's more to life than just working this job every day and paying bills. Right. I feel like I'm wasting everything, and there's nothing important in what I'm doing at all. So,
preach.
That, huh?
I said preach.
Oh, yeah. There you go. So, I mean, this is the process by which, you know, people get started into their awakening process. And it can be earth-shattering to people when they start to see that their perception of reality is changing. And, you know, I started telling people, reality isn't real. It's different than what you think it is. And they're like, oh, that sounds nuts. But in reality, it's true. And let me just justify that by telling you that the definition of enlightenment is to glimpse the true nature of reality. To glimpse the true nature of reality. That is the definition of enlightenment, which implies by definition alone that the majority of people do not see the true nature of reality at all. So they're all seeing a mixed up perception of reality. And to start glimpsing the true nature of reality, that's enlightenment.
It's shattering. But it's shattering at first.
It is. It is. When you start to see that what you thought was love isn't, and that there's a whole new level of love that you can discover that's just beautiful and wonderful that you never even knew it existed, that what you thought was happy isn't. You were just the least miserable you've ever been. And then you discover a new level of happiness. But then you also realize that the life that you had that you thought was happy wasn't. It's just a very bizarre process to go through. And when you go through it alone, a person might start questioning their own sanity, right?
Right. And then you have the ones that, you know, have always known. Like, I've always known there was something, some deeper meaning. I've always, like, it wasn't, like, shattering for me. I couldn't learn fast enough. I couldn't learn enough. I couldn't, like, I was running out of time. I had to, you know, and like I my path began a little differently than most. You know, I began dealing with the negative energies and entities and stuff, and so I just couldn't learn enough, and I just wanted to learn it all at once and study it all at once. And, you know, you have to master a craft and then move on to the next. And, you know, I still struggle with that a little. I sometimes still dip my hands into too much it, but then eventually I pull myself back. But, you know, for me, it was never like religion. Like, I have never done organized religion. I was 5 years old, the first time I ever went into a church, and was totally, completely weirded out. You know, I like thought the people were like, what is the word I'm looking for? Like they were, almost like they were like being controlled, or like they were not themselves. It was very strange. And I refused to go back to any religious like organization like that, from that point on. But there is so much fear base. One of the biggest fear bases that really I find really sad is the stigma that the Western society puts on death. You know, death, it's not the end. It's you're ascending to a new beginning, the next stage. You know, but in the Western world, death is such a sad thing. You know, in the Eastern world, and when you have the tribal peoples, when someone passes, they don't mourn their death, they celebrate their life, you know. And that's huge. And there's so much fear based on so many things. There's so much fear based around having a free mind and thinking for your own, you know, not following organized religion, not following anyone, you know, finding out the truth, your truth for yourself. There's so much fear of being different, fear of, you know, of being gifted, that it's not right or it's not normal, when actually all souls are gifted. It's just their gifts are shut down because they're asleep. They're not awakened to, they can feel the energies, they can see the spirits, they're not getting the information and the knowledge through the energy from spirit. You know, they're not getting the downloads consciously, or, you know, there's a lot of fear base behind it, you know. But when you awaken, like, your whole world changes. At first it might not seem so peachy, but eventually things smooth out and you find a balance and you really start to focus and find a path or find many paths and walk down many different paths throughout your life, you know. But it's about the focus and getting grounded, and realizing that there's more, and, you know, there's always something more to learn.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I have some questions that were sent to me. Somebody would like me to ask if lucid dreaming can start awakening, or if it means that awakening has already happened or the awakening is getting stronger. And is it possible for you to send messages to yourself, such as when you have deja vu or a very personal horoscope? But mostly would like to know about nightmares, if nightmares could be part of that.
I'm going to say yes to all three of the lucid dreaming. It could be either one of the three. Yes, it could trigger an awakening. Yes, you could already be awakened and it making, you know, it ascending you further. There's no one way for anything. So to say no to one way, I just, you know, each person is different and each path is different. So, yeah.
So I in this particular case, I know a little bit of background here, and I'm just going to say to the listener that I think that was definitely part of the awakening process, but it it had a big, strong, solid area of healing that was, it was a healing process that was trying to initiate. And as far as the nightmares are concerned, that was a healing thing that was trying to initiate so that the awakening process could proceed.
Yes, and it triggered the fears. So it brought them up for them to heal.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep. And to the listener, I'll say off the air, we can discuss that in more detail because I can explain the details of the dream. I'm really familiar with what this person has dreamt about. So we can talk about it off the air too, the different things that process has brought you through and how that's helped along that process of awakening. So hopefully that helps. So when you started awakening, Clayton, was it a fast thing that just spontaneously happened, or was it a slow process of realizing that there's something going on here?
It was a bit of both. I was thrown into situations and realized, okay, this is what I was born for. But as far as my growth and stuff, it was very slow and still is slow, sometimes frustratingly slow. However, you know, pushing yourself too far too fast, especially when you cannot hear your spirit guides yet, you know, I don't want to put fear into anyone, but I must advise caution from doing that, because, you know, if you try to heal too much too fast, it can literally make you nuts. Like, you know, you're not prepared for it. Healing is not some process that you can just fly through. You know, it's in depth and it's lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes of pain that's coming up, and it's a slow process. And it, you know, that's a part of the awakening and ascension process. So it needs to be taken slow, not so slow that you're not doing any work, but it needs to be taken at a pace that is healthy for you, for the person, in every single way, healthy mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually.
Mm-hmm. There's a movie that I'm going to recommend, and it's a silly movie. And if you've seen it before and you didn't think it was about awakening, then you need to go back and watch it again. It's called Joe Versus the Volcano, when it's got Tom Hanks in it. And it's just it's a silly movie, but if you are aware that it's about awakening and pay attention to that, you're going to see all the inner meanings to that. And there's one part in the show where Meg Ryan says to him, my father always says that everyone in the world is asleep. Everybody you know, your doctor, your lawyer, everybody. And there's very few people in the world who are actually awake, but those who are live in a world of constant amazement.
Yes.
And I heard that, I was like, yes! That is so true. And you can see by visually looking at people who's awake and who's not, or who's on that journey of awakening and who's not. So you can see that whole process there just by looking at people. And, you know, in one of the stages of awakening, you start to notice how surrounded by sleeping people that you are. And you might feel like you're all alone in this world, that you don't belong here at all, because you're surrounded by all these sleeping people who are basically walking around existing, and like they're walking around like zombies, and they're just going through the motions of automatic thought processes. And you want to knock on their head sometimes and say, is there anybody in there? Right?
Absolutely.
So, absolutely. I mean, from my own experience, I used to go to the shopping center and I would stand in line to pay for my goods. And I would look at the people there, and especially the checkout people sometimes, and I would just see how they're not really there. And I would just start crying because I thought, I shouldn't even be here. I'm in the wrong world. because I didn't know very many people like me at all, and I felt very alone. And that's one of the stages of awakening, to feel very alone, to sometimes wish that you could go back to not knowing what you figured out, to not seeing what you've seen, because at least you thought you were happy before, and now you know that things aren't what they seemed to be before, and the people that you thought loved you don't even know how to really love anyone. It's not that you're not lovable, they just don't even know how. And these are really hard things to realize, and once you see it, it's hard to not know it. It's hard to forget. You try, right? Absolutely. Have you gone through that?
I personally have not felt like, you know, I wanted to go back to being asleep, but yes, go back to a planet, a world that's more advanced spiritually, and everyone is awakened and respects the earth and respects all life, including spirit and, you know, dead people and spirit, you know, just respect, common respect and courtesy, and, you know, doesn't have all the heavy emotions and vibrations that we have with a lot of the human race. It can be hard. You know, I personally, being an empath, I'm not really the best at being an empath. I don't like emotions a whole lot. For me, the hard one for me is sadness. I don't like deep sadness. I don't like to feel deep sadness, you know, or going in places like hospitals where it's filled with sadness and sickness. It's hard for me, you know. I've just had to learn to ground and shield really well, you know. But we each have our things that, you know, are a struggle for us. And for me, like emotions and sadness and sickness and vulnerability and seeing people suffer, especially under spiritual oppression, that really gets to me. That's why I do the work that I do. One thing that angers me is seeing people that have gifts and don't use them to help people. You know, so we all have our things, our triggers, our, you know, things that are struggle with. And, you know, as you evolve, your struggles become different.
Mm-hmm. That's true, too. And, you know, I think there's sometimes levels of awakening that absolutely the people go through. Like when you're going through the further along levels, you want to help everybody to awaken. You want everybody to awaken. And I've seen, my nephew is one of these. He likes to use the F word a lot. And he'd be like, "Wake up, people." And he'll just like, "Rah, rah, 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 wake up." And I'm like, nobody's listening to that. Nobody's going to go, "Hey, you know what? He's right. I'm asleep." That's not going to do anything. This is your frustration with them being asleep, and just work on yourself. Work on yourself. You've been him before?
Yeah. I tend to drop the F word sometimes.
No, not Clayton. On that note, we have to go to a 2-minute break. So we'll stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back with more awakening.
More variety.
You're listening to Para X.
Be careful. The Yodish
Bar. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the producer and host of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. I am a published author, academic, former legal investigator and paranormal enthusiast who holds 4 advanced degrees with an interest in parapsychology and life after death issues. I have written about and encountered nearly 100 situations involving the paranormal, with my most frightening experience being a floor-length mirror cycling around in front of me in a haunted room I had stayed in. I invite you to tune in Thursday evenings at 11 o'clock p.m. to 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
Nights at midnight on the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Come, get lost with us.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. This is the Journey Radio Show, and when we are not live on the air like we are right now, you can find us online at thejourneyradioshow.com. And again, my name is Jen Cruz. I am the host of The Journey, and tonight joining me is Clayton Crawford. And we're talking about Awakening, No Zombies Allowed. Yes. So we're talking about Awakening, but what about the zombies? What are the zombies about, Clayton?
The zombies are the sleepers. Mm-hmm. The ones that, the people that are asleep. They haven't awakened spiritually. And here's the thing. You know, this is a hard reality. It was a hard reality for me. It's probably a hard reality for your nephew to accept, Jen. But not everyone is going to awaken in this life. It's not their path. Some of them just came here to have the human experience.
True.
Not everyone is going to awaken. And you cannot force someone to awaken. If you did force someone to awaken, it would probably harm them detrimentally.
They would probably think that you're crazy.
Yes.
And they would be really good at explaining to a professional that you are crazy.
Right.
So I don't suggest trying to force someone to awaken, because it really just scares them, really. And it causes more trouble than it's worth. Now, you can inspire someone to awaken. You can ask them fun questions. And, you know, do it in a more fun way, but you can't force it. You know, it's either there or it's not there. I wrote a story about this because my old students, they gave me the nickname of the Caterpillar Whisperer, because I was always talking about caterpillars. And so they gave me this nickname of the Caterpillar Whisperer, and I thought that was cute. So I wrote a story called The Caterpillar Whisperer. And when I shared the story with them, they thought that they were the caterpillar. They thought that I wrote the story. Each one of them thought it was them as the caterpillar, because it was talking as the caterpillar, thinking the things that they had actually said to me. But in reality, the story was all about me, and I was the caterpillar, and I was the caterpillar whisperer. And it was about the various things that I went through going through my awakening and having to talk to others who were still cocooned in their sleep, the other cocooned caterpillars who didn't even know that they were going through a transformation of becoming a butterfly, and the whole process of that, and how they would, I called out to the other cocooned caterpillars, and I said, hey, reality isn't real. There's something else out there. And they're like, oh, you're crazy if you think reality isn't real. Do you know how many times people said that to me? Because I was trying to awaken other sleeping caterpillars. And they were not ready for what I was sharing with them. Some of them were. Some of them tried to take a peek to see if what I was saying was true. And they would see a glimpse of it sometimes. And I would feel a little better knowing someone else saw it too. But it's a pretty good story. I'll share the link when I post the link to this show in the website later. I'll share the link to the story. I know a lot of the public schools in Minnesota have played this story for the students, and they like the story about the caterpillar whisperer who helps the caterpillar, encourages the caterpillar to come out of its cocoon and realize that it's a butterfly. And that's really what awakening is about. It's about a transformation, right?
Absolutely.
A realization that you are not what you thought you were. This life is not exactly what you thought it was. Right. And it is something so much more. And you are part of something so much more than what you thought. You're right. more than this body.
The transformation never ends.
Right. And that's the other part. You start becoming aware that you are immortal. And I'm not talking about the body that you're in. That is not who you are. That body is simply your earth suit. You wear it here because everybody needs to wear a suit like this in this hostile environment. As right. we're growing and becoming stronger and realizing who and what we are, by the time our bodies give out, we don't need that suit anymore. And that's the whole purpose, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, yeah. Once we leave this body, we evolve on. You know, there are, like Jen said, I hate to put it in like a hierarchy, because it's not a hierarchy, because spirituality is not a competition, you know, and anyone that is competitive with it is not truly fully awakened to the level of understanding that they think they are. But, you know, there are levels. You know, the name given to the top level would be called an ascended master. You know, I will name off a few: Buddha, Rumi the poet, Aristotle, Jesus. You know, we could go on. They reached a level of enlightenment and awakening and ascension to where, especially Buddha and Rumi, for me, like, those are the two that just, like, whoa. I mean, Buddha was so emotional, he would cry at leaves falling off of trees. You know, people would think he was totally nuts, you know, especially in today's time, you know. But that there is that level. However, once you reach that level, it doesn't mean you stop. After they pass, they go on to the next level, the next stage, you know, their next journey. So it never ends.
That's true. That's true. It never ends. It's a continuing process of growing and becoming and realizing what else we are. And there's something that someone said in here. Nina says, when it comes time to leave my body, my physical body, I can't even imagine the knowledge that I will gain. And here's the thing with that. It's not the knowledge that we gain. It's that we remember. Because we already know it.
Already know.
We already know it. It's just that we had to forget and become less than what we really are to have these new experiences. Otherwise, we're much too wise to ever make the mistakes that we make as humans to right. have the new experiences that are required for new growth and new compassion and new levels of learning, understanding, and compassion for others. So we have to become more than what we, you know, if we have to become less than what we really are to have this new experience that's going to help us to become more. So absolutely. It's not that we are going to gain so much knowledge. We're just going to remember it and realize the other parts of ourselves. It's not me and them, me and all of them. It's me and more of me that I forgot about for a while, and now I remember it.
Right.
And so even now we can remember these things. I walk by people all the time and I think, oh, there I am. Look at me. And and I can observe myself in someone else's body. And it's a weird thing to say out loud for people to hear it who are not on this journey, who haven't had a similar circumstance, or to be in a room full of strangers and recognize every single one of them. Have you had that happen?
I have definitely seen myself in people who are beginning their paths, you know, beginning the awakening process. Like your nephew, I can totally see myself in him, you know, because I definitely have, you know, a more dominant, aggressive side that can come out, you know.
No.
Yeah.
Say
yeah, more dominant, less patient, aggressive side that can come out. However, it definitely doesn't come out as much now. For the most part now, it only comes out when it really needs to come out. And that's when, you know, I choose to bring it out.
True.
But yeah, I do see myself, you know, and I even sometimes when people, even sleepers, okay, I see myself in them. I see ego traps that they're stuck in that totally will, you know, drive me nuts. Like, and of course it's a trigger for your own ego, you know, and you just got to let them be, because you can't let it affect your inner peace, because that's where they're at in their journey, and that's where they're supposed to be, you know, and you're past that. And sometimes when we get past stuff that we used to do, we see it in others, and it will, like, really irritate the crap out of you, you know, but you just have to realize that, you know, they're on their own path, and they're at that level in life, or that place. I hate to use the word level, because it makes it seem like a hierarchy when it's not. But that's where they're at in life, and, you know, that's where they're supposed to be, that's where they need to be. Everything happens for a reason, and everyone is exactly where they are, because it's where they're supposed to be. So I think, you know, you just have to see that and understand that, and, you know, realize, oh, that, you know, that's me, you know, but that's me that's before I shedded my skin, you know, I shed my skin and shed those layers that needed to be shed.
And it's a process of continually shedding the beliefs that don't necessarily fit with the real reality.
Right.
And it's letting go of those things and perceiving reality in much more clear ways. And some of the things that people could experience during that process is colors will look more vibrant than they did before. The skies can look much brighter than they did before. Maybe it doesn't rain all the time anymore. I mean, I've had people say, I thought my clothes were dingy and I thought they had lost their color through the wash, but all of a sudden the colors became vibrant again.
Right.
And they realized that they were seeing colors much more clearly again than they used to. And so these are the gray veils that they're removing from their perception, essentially, and allowing them to see colors more vibrantly. And it's a whole process of perceiving reality in more clearer ways than they had before. Right?
Absolutely.
During that process, we have to be willing to let go of our old perception of reality and what we think was happening. Because a lot of times people have spent their lives assuming the worst about other people. That's a bad man. That's a bad lady. They were taking advantage of me. They didn't really care, and they were just in my life because they wanted to use me. And then when they were done, they just, you know, they were bad people. And the reality of it is that a lot of the people are kind of in the same boat, and they perceive the same things you do, and they probably feel the same way about you. And when we realize that, when we have focused on the negative things so much that's all that we start to see. And the good things that are right there in front of us become invisible. And when you see that, when you observe that happening to other people as an objective observer, when you're observing other people in a situation where they're freaking out and there's good things they're just not seeing right in front of them, and they're only seeing the bad stuff, and maybe the bad stuff isn't even that bad, but they're so focused on it that they don't see the good that's right in front of them. Or like an example I like to use is if it's a football player, they keep looking the wrong way. So they didn't even know the quarterback had thrown the pass to them. So of course they didn't lift their hands up and catch it, but maybe the ball hit them in the head and they assume the quarterback tried to hurt them on purpose. And that kind of a thing. Instead of the quarterback tried to throw you a pass and you were looking the wrong way. So, you know, you didn't catch the ball and make the touchdown. So these are the types of things that we have to realize, that perhaps our perception of what happened was skewed. And we just have to start assuming that we perhaps weren't seeing reality the way that it truly was. And as we let go of those things and decide to forgive others, we also forgive ourselves. And that's the key, is forgiving others leads to self-forgiveness. If you will not forgive anyone, you are not forgiving yourself.
Right.
And that's something you'll get stuck on, right?
And you know, for me, I will say I get irritated when it comes to small talk, especially gossip with the sleepers and like the real negative stuff. Like, I don't want to waste my energy on that. You know what I mean? And if, like, they're around me and I can't, like, I can't remove myself from the situation, like, eventually I'm going to, like, shut them down, you know, just because I can only take so much. But, like, for me, like, I think people need to realize that, like, when it comes to, when you get to certain levels or certain vibrations of energy, you start to see things differently. You start to see that, okay, this may sound a little offensive, but the mass human population are very narcissistic in nature because of the society and the way that they've been taught and told and all these things, you know. And it's like, oh, this person did this to me. No, you did it to yourself, you know. And, you know, they want to blame everyone else for their life being, you know, screwed up. No, you did it to yourself. You know, everyone is a reflection. Everyone is a mirror. So what you don't see in others, you know, you don't like about yourself, especially if, especially when it comes to the sleepers, because yes, we awaken people, we do see and feel things in others, and you know, not all energies match, and we don't, you know, when I do see, come across people that I stay away from, you know, but I don't talk bad about them. I just know that like their energy is not, you know, what I need in my life at my point in time on where I'm at on my path, you know. But, a lot of times with the sleepers, you know, they want to blame everything on everyone else. You know, they want to project and reflect everything, you know. And it's like, no, you know, like, you know, your life is the way it is because you did this to yourself, you know, or this person didn't do this to you. You did this to you, you know. Even when it comes to like people, like when someone does someone wrong, a lot of times they're mad because they knew it and they allowed it to happen anyway, you know, but it, to their perception is this person did them wrong. So, you know, it's all about coming to a higher understanding.
And that's true too, that a lot of the times people put themselves in that situation and they're subconsciously choosing that to punish themselves. That's very true. But there are situations as where people are children and they are mistreated for real, you know, but I look at those things as training, you know, as someone who went through things as a child, right. In hindsight, I look back on those things and I'm grateful for them, because without those experiences, I wouldn't have been able to help the people that I have helped who've also gone through similar things. Right. So I developed a gratitude for those things that have happened, that other people are just like, what? You're grateful for that? And it's a level of healing that you can attain. You don't have to feel like damaged goods your whole life. You can develop a gratitude for the hardships that you've endured and lived through and survived, because through those things, you've learned how to help others. And I think of all the people that you've helped with that, and you can feel grateful that you were able to do that. And if you help enough people, the gratitude of that becomes much greater than the pain ever was.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely. You know, and then that's like, you see people that really, they really do have, you know, especially children that have some really messed up lives, and it's really sad. But we can't save everyone. We have to remember that. We can't save everyone. And we also have to realize that, you know, your soul signs up for this. When you come to Earth, your soul signs up for this. So they signed up for this, and this is part of their karmic debt, and this is a lesson for them to learn. You know, even though it seems sad and it seems hard, like, and it doesn't seem fair, that's just the reality. Like, they signed up for it. You know,
there's things that you wanted to learn through that process, not that you wanted to go through something so terrible. There's things that you wanted to learn through this life process. And to be honest, how do we become more compassionate towards others? You kind of have to go through something in order to really feel that compassion for someone else. If you're born with a silver spoon in your mouth and you've never suffered a day in your life, it's kind of hard to feel compassion for somebody who is suffering, because you have no level of understanding what that's like.
Right. And our society does not teach empathy.
You know? No, it's not a community of growing together and helping each other, like the tribal way of life, where, you know, everybody pitches in and everybody has a purpose and has a value. And everybody helps each other. And so the world doesn't rest on one person's shoulders. And if something happens, if you go down, everything else is going to crumble around you. And that's the way that the society that we live in right now. But in the old tribal way of living, where you live as a community, the whole world doesn't rest on one person's shoulders anymore. And so if something happens to you, you know that your tribal community is going to help you get along until you're back on your feet. And they take care of their own. They take care of the elders. The elders, as they become less active in a physical format, they become more active in a verbal format, where they're teaching the younger and they're sharing the wisdom that they've gained in their lives. And so they have a new value that is assigned to them, that is no longer a physical providing of what is needed, but more of a new thing that they contribute, which is their wisdom that they've attained through their many years of life. So, you know, I love the tribal way of the old tribal way of life. I think that that's much more balanced. It's a give and take, and it's less stressful for sure, because again, that weight isn't landing on one person's shoulders. But that just isn't the kind of world that we are living in right now. People are so into getting what they can while they can, because they're worried about what happens if they can't. They're trying to amass something to fall back on. And in reality, it goes away really quick. I spent many years of my life working hard and not taking time for me and doing the things that I wanted to do. Right. And it was gone in a heartbeat, let me tell you what. Right. And all that was for nothing.
But, you know, the fun part is, the fun part about awakening, Jen, is like meeting other people like yours, you know, you realize you're not alone. Like, there are others, you know? Facebook is a great way to start, you know. But also, you know, there are festivals. There are spiritual festivals all around the world, all around the country. There are pagan festivals. There are shamanic festivals. There are, you know, and these people have owned land and bought land, and they've made communities out of this, you know. And people come from all around the country, all around the world, to meet at these festivals, you know. And it's like when you're there, they operate like a tribe, you know. And it's going back to that slowly. You know, I see it going back to that. My boyfriend took me to a festival in Tennessee, near Pigeon Forge, near Gatlinburg, and it's 100 acres split between 5 owners, and this place is extraordinary. I mean, extraordinary. You know, I mean, they have a full-blown kitchen, outside kitchen. They have, it's like fairy gardens. They have amazing bridges over the mountain streams and the creeks all over the property. I mean, it's so well designed and built. They have, they have places for different rituals and different ceremonies, and they even have a huge stage for live band and live music. You know, I mean, it's going back to that slowly. That's the fun part.
It is the fun part. We're coming to the end of the show very quickly here, so we should probably wrap up our thoughts on awakening. I'm just going to say that it is a process, and it can go slower or it can go quick, but it is your process, and it's about that journey of awakening, and enjoy it. It's the best you can. Find people who understand what you're going through and share those experiences with them. You're not going crazy. You're not going crazy. You're not going crazy, even if you feel like you are. Your perception of reality changes very quickly. Don't be surprised if what you see morphs in front of your eyes. That has happened to me too. So get a hold of somebody that understands that. Get a hold of me. Get a hold of Clayton, somebody who understands, and let's talk about it so you can feel like you understand what's happening to you a lot better. So this is a big topic. It's hard to fit everything in about it in an hour. That's definitely not going to happen. But at least we touched on some of it, and you all know that you're not alone out there. And there's a big world out here, and there's a lot to see and a lot to know, and we're all a big part of it. Everybody is. And everything is. So best thing I can say is take your shoes off, put your feet to the earth. And if you're feeling scared and alone, find a good spot, put your belly button to the ground and connect with Mother Earth. It's a really good thing to do in a good spot. So thanks for joining the show tonight, Clayton.
Thank you.
And we're going to have to sign off. This has been the Journey Radio Show. And tune in next week on Wednesday.
Bye, everyone.
Good night, everyone.